It is a joy to be with you this morning, and we're going to be continuing our study of the doctrine of God by looking at the jealousy of God this morning in the book of Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, and Exodus 34 can be found on page 88 in the pew Bibles in front of you. So let us turn there now. If you're able to, let us stand for the reading of God's word. In Exodus 34, verse 14, Moses says by the Holy Spirit, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And now let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are worthy of our honor and praise. And it is our duty and delight to worship you, the one who created us, sustains us, and rescues us from our sins. May our lives be a testimony to your grace and the faithfulness you have shown to us throughout our lives. We ask that you would forgive us for where we have dishonored you and open our hearts to receive your grace in our time of need. When our sin leads us to despair, it is to Jesus that we flee, the one who is our great high priest and king. He alone can wash us and make us clean within. He is a Savior who is sufficient for our need, and we plead his death and resurrection as the foundation for our salvation. Apart from Christ, we have no lasting joy or peace. Apart from you, O God, filling us with your love, we would have no hope. As we turn now to your word, may the Bible equip us with the knowledge we need to live for you, to suffer for Jesus' sake, and be bold witnesses wherever you send us. As we explore what you say about yourself in your word, may we be changed and transformed as we meditate on Scripture and seek to apply it to our lives. Open our eyes to see truths in the Bible we have never seen before. Open our ears to hear the truth of the gospel as we have never heard it before. May you change us by your Holy Spirit, who equips us to live the victorious Christian life. And we ask all these things by the authority of the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible declares that our God is a jealous God. When we think about jealousy, we normally think about sinful human jealousy, like envy or coveting something that someone else owns that we want for ourselves. Human jealousy is often an unpredictable emotion that is rooted in anger. But God's jealousy is not like our jealousy. His jealousy is not a mood swing, but a divine attribute that describes who he eternally is as God. So we must be careful not to project our human understanding of what jealousy is back onto God. His jealousy is not like ours. His jealousy is perfect and a divine attribute, whereas our jealousy is often rooted in sin. In the Bible, to say that God is jealous means that God desires us to worship him, because he alone is worthy of worship and praise, because he alone is God, because he is the only God, he is the only one who is deserving of worship. And when we worship idols and false gods, that provokes the jealousy of God. God is jealous for his own name and for the good of his people. Jealousy is not wrong for God, because God is the supreme being. He is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. And he is therefore worthy of worship and praise. Our God is infinitely glorious and deserving of our worship, because that is what he made us for. And when we worship God, it is then that we find our greatest delight and joy in this life. The greatest joy and happiness we could ever have in this life is found for living for God. In living for his name and worshiping and serving him, it is then that we find true happiness, when we fulfill the purpose for which we were made. But idols can never make us happy. False gods can never satisfy us, because we were not made for them. We were made for the Lord and to live for him and for his kingdom. Idols cannot make us happy, only God can. And we can't understand the jealousy of God until we first understand the love of God. That is why last Sunday I preached on the love of God from John 3:16. Our God is perfectly and infinitely loving, and therefore he is committed to the good of his people. God loves us, and he demonstrated that love by sending his one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. God's love for us is the self-giving of himself for us to be our God and to meet our needs. And he met our greatest need, which is our need for salvation, through the sending of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. But idolatry is not good for us. Worshipping and serving false gods harms us, and it will destroy us in the end. God is in a covenant relationship with those who believe in Jesus, which the Bible calls the new covenant. And God created marriage to be a picture of his covenant love for his people. The love of a husband and wife in marriage is a reflection and picture of God's love for us. And so, just as a husband and wife do not want to see the other partner turn to another person, so likewise, God doesn't want to see his people turn to false gods and away from him. As a husband and wife are jealous for the affection of each other, God is jealous for his people so that they will worship him alone. In the Bible, idolatry is described as spiritual adultery. That's what the book of Hosea is all about. In the book of Hosea, the prophet goes and marries a prostitute. And that is a picture of what God has done for his people. He has gone to an unfaithful and adulterous people, and he has saved them from their sins. And he has changed and transformed them, but time and time again, Israel would go back to their idols. Idolatry in the Bible is replacing God with something else in creation. It is substituting God for something that God has made. Israel in the Old Testament was often unfaithful to God. She was the Lord's unfaithful bride who went back to her idols time and time again. And the Lord pursued Israel and showed love to her despite her unfaithfulness and sought to draw her back to himself as her husband. And so not only do we need to first understand God's love to understand his jealousy for his people, we also need to understand the glory of God and the meaning of God's name. Our God is a jealous God for his own glory and his name and his people because he is infinitely glorious. Glory in the Bible describes the worth or value of something. That's why the term glory in Hebrew describes the weight of an object, because precious metals in the ancient world were weighed on a scale, and the more that they weighed, the more that they were worth. So our God is weighty. He is infinite in weight and worth and value. He is precious and deserving of worship and praise. And because he is infinitely glorious, he is infinitely worthy of worship. And God's name, Yahweh, is directly tied to his glory. His name, Yahweh, the great I Am, is an expression of his value and worth. And that is why he says in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 48, verse 11, about saving his people Israel and why he has saved them, he says, For my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. And so God's glory is bound up in his name, Yahweh. And God always acts for the sake of his name, and therefore he acts for the good of his people. Because the good of his people, Israel in the Old Testament, and the church in the New Testament, his glory is bound up in their good as well. Because he has chosen to enter into a covenant relationship with them, to save them and rescue them, transform them, and to make them into a peculiar people for himself, that they might honor and serve him all the days of their lives, to declare his glory. And it is because God is infinite in glory and value that he demands our highest praise. And God's jealousy for his glory is not selfish, because when we glorify God and when we worship and serve him, it is then that we find our greatest joy and happiness that we could ever have in this life. That is what we were made for. And so when God commands us to worship him, he is commanding us to find our delight in him, to find our joy in him, and to fulfill the calling he has given to us. And that's why Pastor John Piper likes to say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When we are most satisfied in God and find our enjoyment in him rather than the things of this world and rather than its idols, it is then that God is most glorified. when we show the world by the way that we live our lives that God is our treasure, that He is our prized possession, that He is our inheritance, and that apart from Him we have no good thing. And that is why God says in our text for this morning, in Exodus 34, verse 14, about His worship, He says to Israel through Moses, "For you shall have no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Context is key for understanding any verse in the Bible. And context describes what comes before and after a verse or passage of Scripture. And so what happened right before this chapter? What happened right before Exodus 34? Well, in Exodus chapter 32, the people of Israel had made a golden calf. They had turned from God to worship an idol that they had made. They chose to worship and serve it rather than the God who rescued them from the land of Egypt. God did many miracles to set Israel free from the bondage of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the miracles that God did in Egypt were not just directed against Pharaoh, they were also directed against the false gods of the Egyptians. And every miracle that God did in the book of Exodus in setting Israel free from Egypt was directed against a false god of the Egyptians. Every plague corresponds with a false god of the Egyptians, where God shows His power and sovereignty over their idols. And so when God turned the Nile River into blood, He was showing His superiority over the Egyptian god of the Nile River. When God turned the land of Egypt into darkness for 3 days straight, He did that to show His superiority over their sun god, Ra, who is their chief god. By turning the land to darkness, He showed that He is supreme over their false idol, Ra, who is their god of the sun. The sun god could not save them from the darkness that God sent over the land of Egypt. By these miracles, the Lord had shown Himself to be supreme over these false idols, over all man-made images. But Israel, instead, had wanted to serve a God they could see, rather than the invisible God of Scripture. God had said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, that they might serve me." But Israel chose, instead, to serve and to worship this idol they had made, rather than the God who had saved them from Egypt. And so because of their worship of the golden calf, the Lord disciplined them for their sin, and many of them died by the sword or by a plague that God had sent upon them. And God did this to teach them not to go back to idolatry, not to go back to their old ways, so they would learn to never make this mistake again. God was in a covenant relationship with Israel and desired that she worship Him alone. And that is why the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, is filled with warnings against idolatry, emphasizing that the Lord alone is God. This is why God says to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, God says to Israel, "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Our God is a consuming fire, which means that He is all-powerful. God is powerful and mighty and just. And because He is a consuming fire, He will judge those who are wicked one day, if not in this life, then in the life to come. And that is why the Bible often warns us, and the Bible often speaks about walking in the fear of the Lord. We are called to fear God, which means that we are called to acknowledge Him as Lord of all, to adore Him, to respect Him, and to reverence His name, to recognize that He is God and we are not. And the Bible defines the fear of the Lord as that which results in the turning away from evil. When we fear God and acknowledge Him as holy, we turn away from what is evil in His sight. And loving God is compatible with fearing God. They are two parts of the same coin, because turning away from evil is the result of fearing God. And loving God expresses itself through obedience, as Jesus said At John 14:15, he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And keeping God's commandments is what it means to turn away from evil, to obey God rather than sinning. And so fearing God and loving God are related to one another. Because we acknowledge God to be the Lord, we want to love him, we want to serve him, and to obey him. And when we love God, we will do what he says. And doing what he says is the expression of fearing God. Because a person who doesn't fear God lives for themselves rather than for the Lord. A person who doesn't fear God wants to be their own God, to try to make themselves happy apart from God by living for sin and for pleasure rather than for the Lord. We see as well in the Bible another example of God's jealousy in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 5. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, which God instructed the Israelites to make, to be a picture and symbol of his covenant with them. And the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in their temple next to the statue of Dagon, who is their god. And the next morning, the statue of Dagon, their idol, had fallen over and was lying prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant, this symbol of God's presence. So they put Dagon's statue back up in its place. But the morning after that, the statue had fallen over again. But this time, its head and its hands were broken off and lying on the threshold of the temple. The Lord did this to show that he will have no equals or rivals. False gods made by man have no existence at all. They can neither save or destroy. And every idol will one day fall before the Lord. The Lord will have no rivals. He will have no equals. And that raises a question for us. Are there any rivals to God in our lives? Are there any idols in our heart that we need to get rid of and cast away? Because God will have us for himself because he is a jealous God. God will have no equals or rivals. He has commanded us to worship him and him alone, to honor him alone, and to give him all glory and honor and praise. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we cannot love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength if our heart is divided between him and an idol. And throughout the Old Testament, the Lord had to rescue Israel from the consequences of her idolatry time and time again. That is what we see in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, the people of Israel would turn away from God to idols and to sin. And then God would discipline them by allowing them to be conquered by their enemies. And then when they were conquered by their enemies, they would cry out to God for deliverance. And God would send to them a deliverer or a judge who would rescue them from their enemies. And then they would give thanks to God for saving them. But then the next generation who came after them would forget about what God had done for them. And they would go back to their old ways. And then the cycle would start all over again. And the cycle of the book of Judges can sometimes be true of our lives. Sometimes we are like Israel in the Old Testament. We can forget about God and how he has saved us from our sins. And we go back to our old ways. We go back to our idolatry and the old sinful habits of our old life and who we used to be. But then God will discipline us and cause us to remember his goodness for us, because his kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. And when God rescued Israel from their persecutors, God was ultimately acting for the sake of his own name, as he says in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 39, verse 25, God says this about his holy name. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name." The good of his people is tied up with his holy name. Because he is jealous for his name and for his glory, because his name expresses his glory, he is therefore jealous for his people, to make his people into a people who will worship and serve him alone. And God has saved us, you and I, from our sins, so that we would worship him and him alone, and have no others before him. And so how do we as Christians serve and worship this God who is jealous? How do we respond to the jealousy of God? And we respond to him in many ways. And one way that we do so is by worshiping him alone. And worship is more than what we do on Sunday morning as Christians. Worship is all of life. Worship encompasses our whole life. Everything that we do, in one sense, is worship. We are called to worship and serve God alone. We are called as well to be zealous for God's name. Zeal is our response to the jealousy of God. And zeal is the passionate desire to defend something that is under attack. So when God's name is attacked, when the gospel is attacked, or when the Bible is attacked, we are called to act for the sake of God's name and to defend the glory of God that is under assault by those who are evil. To be zealous is to share in the jealousy of God for his name. And true zeal is demonstrated by action, not mere feeling. And that is what we see in the life of Jesus. Jesus Christ was always zealous for the name of God and for his glory. We see the zeal of Jesus Christ in the encounter in the temple when he kicks the money changers out of the temple, when he overturns the tables and makes a whip of cord to drive the animals away. And he rebukes them and says that you have turned my father's house into a den of robbers. The money changers were robbing the people through an unfair exchange rate. And so Jesus drove them out because he was zealous for the worship of God and God's temple. He was moved to action when he saw the temple, the place that God had ordained to be worshipped in by the people of Israel, being defiled by thieves and by robbers who were stealing from those who wanted to worship God through sacrifice. And that is why it says in the Gospel of John, in John 2:17, about this episode, his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And there it is quoting Psalm 69, which is a messianic psalm about Jesus, how Jesus Christ would be zealous for God's name and would act for the sake of his glory always. We see this as well in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was always zealous for the glory of God, and he acted for the good of Christ's church because he wanted to see the church worship and serve God alone and to be faithful to Jesus Christ rather than turning to idols. His zeal is a reflection of Christ's jealousy for his bride, the church. And that is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he writes to the Corinthians, that I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betroth you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Paul earnestly desired the holiness and purity of Christ's church because the church is married to Jesus Christ, and he wants the church to be devoted to Christ. And because God is jealous for us, he disciplines us for our good because he loves us to keep us from false idols. And this is a warning for us today, not to turn to false gods, but to worship and serve God alone. And that is why Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 10:22. He writes, "Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" And the answer is no. We are not stronger than God. We cannot resist God. God is mightier than us, and he has made us for himself to worship him alone. The Lord is God and not us. And so who or what is your God? Who is your Lord? Who is your God? Is the Lord alone your God? Or is there an idol in your life that God is calling you to get rid of, to cast away, so that you can worship God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? We are called to be zealous for God's glory rather than our own, to live for him because that is what he has made us for. And we are called to pray that God would make us more zealous for his name, to be zealous for his glory and for his bride, the church. To pray that God would give us the courage to speak up when his name is being blasphemed. To remember that God is jealous for us, that he has made us for himself, that he will have us to himself. He is jealous for our love. And if you do not know this holy God as your Savior, he calls upon you to turn to him, to turn to him in repentance, because repentance is one part of saving faith, to turn away from idols and from the lies of the devil to Jesus Christ alone, to trust in him for salvation, to acknowledge him as God. Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins and the false gods of this world. He came into this world to rescue us, to save us, to deliver us, to change us and transform us, to not only forgive our sins, but to make us into the kind of people that he wants us to be, to purify us, his bride, the church, to cleanse us by his own blood, to make us into the people who are zealous for his name. And my prayer is that God would grant us the ability to be more zealous for him, to live for him rather than for this world that is passing away. Because this world and its idols will never be able to satisfy you. They will always deceive you and always lie to you, and they will leave you empty in the end. And so may God grant us the strength and the courage that we need to live for him, to serve him, and to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let us pray together. Our Father God, our prayer is that you would make us into the kind of people that you want us to be, that we would be zealous for your name, because you are a jealous God. You are jealous for us. You are jealous for our love. You are jealous for our worship. You are jealous for our good as the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is jealous for us, his bride, the church, because we are in a covenant relationship with him, and he loves us with a love that will never let us go. You are jealous, O God, for your glory and for your name. And our heart's desire, Lord, is that you would change us and transform us, that we would this week speak and say what you want us to say, that we would live in such a way that the world might know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. O Father, may you be glorified in our lives this week. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Our benediction for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Which says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And you are dismissed in his peace.